Amen. All right, well, you're there in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Now, I want you to look down at verse number 13, 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and verse number 13. The Bible says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." I want you to notice there, he says, "Till I come." This is Paul, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, speaking to Timothy, a young man that he's training for the ministry. And he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading." That word attendance there means to give, that phrase means, I want you to give attention to. He said, I want you to focus your attention on this. And he says several things there. He says, to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. But I want you to notice there that in the Bible, we are commanded, not just here, but in other places, and we'll look at it. In the Bible, there is this expectation, and we are commanded to read the Bible. He's talking about reading the Word of God. If you follow the passage there, the context, he's saying, give thyself wholly to these things. He's talking about the Word of God. You're there in 1 Timothy 4. Go with me to the book of Revelation just real quickly. Revelation chapter number 1. It should be fairly easy to find as the last book in the New Testament. Revelation chapter number 1. And look at verse number 3. Revelation chapter number 1. Here in 1 Timothy 4:13, he said, "Till I come, give attendance to reading." He said, I want you to give your attention to this idea or the subject or the activity of reading the Bible. And I want to talk to you this morning about this thing of reading the Bible and Bible reading. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says this, "Blessed is he that readeth." You see that? "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." You can find many scriptures throughout the Bible, and we'll look at some, but here we see clear passages. It says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading." He said, "Blessed is he that readeth." You're there in Revelation, go to the book of Matthew. You're in the last book of the New Testament, go to the first book of the New Testament. It should be fairly easy to find. Again, Matthew chapter number 12. Not only is there an expectation in Scripture that God wants us to read the Bible, but there's an expectation by Christ. If you study the life of Jesus, and we'll just look at some verses this morning, not too many of the life of Christ here, but if there's this expectation where Jesus expected people to be reading the Bible. Matthew chapter number 12, look at verse number 1. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Matthew 12, 1. You're there in the book of Matthew. Look at chapter 12. The Bible says, "At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were in hunger and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat." Notice verse 2. "But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful." Notice the accusation. Is they're saying your disciples are doing something that's wrong. It's not right. It's not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And I'm not going to talk about these specific examples and why the Pharisees were wrong, but I just want you to notice the expectation from Jesus. Look at verse 3. "But he said unto them, Have you not read?" He said, "Have you not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have ye not read," notice what he says, "or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" And here's what he's saying. They bring him a question, and the question is, they're trying to tempt Jesus, trying to catch Jesus, trying to find him in something that he's doing wrong. And when you're in leadership positions, that's often the case. There's so many times people come up to me and they'll ask me a question, and sometimes I just want to walk away, you know, because it's like they're trying to catch you in your words. You know, people come up to me and they say, Is this a spirit-filled church? You know, and it's like, well, you know, what do you want me to say to that? No, you know, we're not spirit-filled. Now, what they're asking is, do you speak in tongues? You know, well, no, we don't speak in tongues in the way that you're thinking we speak in tongues. But, you know, people try to catch you in these words, and that's what they're doing to Jesus. They bring a question that's brought in the wrong context, and the response that he says is, well, have you not read? He said, have you not read? Here's what he's saying. If you would have read, then you wouldn't be asking this question. If you would have read, then this, and by the way, let me say this, most false doctrine comes out of people who just don't know what the Bible says. People often ask me these questions, and it's like, man, if you just turned off the radio, if you just clicked off of YouTube, if you just shut off Facebook for a while and actually just read the Bible, you might find the answer to that question. But he says, have you not read? And here's what I want you to understand. Jesus expected people to read the Bible. You're there in Matthew 12. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Look at verse 3. There's another question he's asked. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse number 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 3. You're already in Matthew 12. I don't know why some of you guys are flipping pages. You're already there. Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 3. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 3. Notice what it says. Matthew 19 and verse 3. "The Pharisees also came unto him tempting him. So notice, they're not coming with an actual desire to know. They're just wanting to tempt him. And saying unto him, notice what they say. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Notice verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he goes on to answer the question. But I want you to notice, Jesus often brings this idea back. When the question is asked, he says, well, have you not read? And here's what he's saying. I expect you to read. God expects you to read. And in the Old Testament and New Testament, there's all these commandments where God said, I want you to read the Bible. I gave you the Bible so that you could read it, so that it could help you, so that it could answer your questions. You're there in Matthew 19. Go to Matthew 22. Look at verse 24. Matthew 22 in verse number 24. Notice what the Bible says. Matthew 22 in verse 24. They come to him again. Matthew 22 in verse 24. The Bible says, saying, Master, they're talking to Jesus. Moses said, if a man die having, this is my favorite one. They ask him this real like, elaborate hypothetical question that could never happen. Saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. So in the Old Testament, they had this law under the nation of Israel that if a man dies, his brother was supposed to marry the wife, and we don't do that today, and raise up seed unto his brother because it was very important for them to keep the family name alive. Look at verse 25. Now there was with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. So one guy marries a lady, he dies, has no children. Likewise, the second also. So then the second brother marries her, and then he dies, having no children. And the third unto the seventh. This lady needs to be investigated, you know. Every person she's married to dies, you know. Look at verse 27. This would make a good dateline, you know what I mean? And last of all, the woman died also. And they're trying to, because they don't believe in the resurrection. And they're saying, you know, Moses said that this is how it's supposed to happen. And this lady ended up having, you know, seven husbands. They were all brothers. None of them had children with her. Verse 28, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And they're trying to catch him in his words. They got this, you know, got you type question. Notice verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err. He says, you're in error not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. He said, you're trying to catch me, you know, because Jesus is preaching on the resurrection. And they're saying, we don't believe in the resurrection. And they're like, okay, well, how about this? If a lady's married to seven guys and doesn't have any children with any of them in the resurrection, who will she be married to? And he says, you know, you're wrong at even asking the question. He says, ye do err not knowing the scriptures. He said, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Look at verse 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, notice what he says. Have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying? And he goes on to answer the question. I just want you to understand. The Bible has this expectation. There's this commandment in Scripture that you and I ought to read. And Jesus held the same expectation when they would ask him questions. And all of these people were wrong, but they thought they were right. And he says, have you not read? Have you not read? And you know, at Verity Baptist Church, something we push around here a lot is personal Bible reading. We teach our people, we teach you, and we challenge you to read your Bible, to read your Bible, to read your Bible. But this morning, I don't want to preach on the subject of reading your Bible. We saw very clearly from Scripture, Jesus expects us to read. The Bible expects us to read. But here's the question I want to answer this morning. What is the point of Bible reading? What's the purpose? Why do we push it? Why do we encourage it? And here's the thing, and we preach about it a lot, and please don't raise your hand or don't answer this question out loud, but the truth of the matter is that the average Christian does very little in Bible reading. There's very little Bible reading, and there's very few Christians that could even say that they've read the Bible cover to cover even one time. And at Verity Baptist Church, we want you to be knowledgeable. We want you to know. We never want you to come to a church like this and say, well, we believe this because the Bible says it, or we believe this because pastor said it. No, you need to study to show thyself approved unto God. You need to read the Bible for yourself. And we push that, and we challenge that, and we try to encourage you to read, to read, to read. But here's the question. Why? What's the point? What is the purpose for Bible reading? I want to try to answer that question for you this morning. You're there in Matthew 22. Look down at verse number 29 again. Matthew 22 and verse 29, Jesus said this. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err not, I want you to notice this word, not knowing. You see that word knowing there? Not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Point number one, for those of you who like to take notes, and I'd encourage you to take notes. Point number one is this. What is the point of Bible reading? What is the purpose of Bible reading? The point of Bible reading is information. The point of Bible reading is information. He says, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Keep your place there in Matthew. We're going to come back to it. But go with me to the book of Hosea. Hosea, towards the end of the Old Testament. Some of you are like, where is that? See, if you would have read your Bible, you'd know. No, I'm just kidding. Let me help you out. At the end of the Bible, you got those big major books of the Bible. You've got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, right? You can find those big books towards the end of the Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Now, when you get there, do me a favor, because we're going to leave there, and we're going to come back towards that part of Scripture at the end of the sermon. So at the end of the service, when we get near Hosea again, you'll know we're almost done. So make sure you put a bulletin or a ribbon or a bookmark or something there, because we're going to come back towards that area. Hosea chapter number 4, look at verse number 1. Hosea chapter number 4 and verse 1. You're familiar with these passages, but let's look at them together. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy. He says, the Lord has, here's how you and I would say, God's got a beef with you. You know, God's got an issue with you. God's upset about something. He said, the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, notice, nor knowledge of God in the land. He says, there's no knowledge of God in the land. Skip down to verse number 6, same chapter. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, notice what he says. My people are destroyed for a lack of what? Knowledge. Do you see that? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, saying, thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. That's talking about the word of God. This morning we sang, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's another term for the Bible, the law of God. He said, because thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. See, there's an expectation in Scripture to read the Bible. You say, why? Why did Jesus expect the people in the Bible to read it? He kept asking, have you not read? Have you not read? Why did Paul say, till I come, give attendance to reading? Why does the Bible say, blessed is he that readeth? Why does God expect us to read? Here's why. The point of reading the Bible or Bible reading is for information, is for knowledge. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Jesus said, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. Go with me to the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. 2 Peter, chapter number 3. 2 Peter, chapter number 3. If you start at the end of the New Testament, you got the book of Revelation, and you head backwards, you can go past Revelation, past Jude, past these small books, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, and you'll have the book of 2 Peter. So if you start at the end and head back, Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, 2nd Peter. 2nd Peter chapter 3, look down at verse number 18. 2nd Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 18. 2nd Peter 3:18, notice what the Bible says. But grow in grace. But grow in grace and in the what? Knowledge. Do you see that? And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. All right, now I know I'm giving you a lot of places to keep your finger in, but I want you to do this, all right? Keep your place in 2 Peter, all right? Or a ribbon or a bookmark or something like that. Well, you should be in Hosea, you should be in 2 Peter. We're going to come back to all of these passages. But I want you to notice there's an expectation in Scripture of reading. Why? Because there's an expectation in Scripture of knowledge. God says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. God says that he has a controversy because there's no knowledge of God in the land. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The point of Bible reading is information. But I want to make something clear before we move on from this. Keep your place there in 2 Peter. You ought to be in Hosea and 2 Peter. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look down at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Here's what I want you to understand. The point of Bible reading is information, but I want to make something extremely clear. The point of Bible reading is not information for information's sake. The point of Bible reading is not just to get information so that we can have information. God wants us to have information so that there's something we can do with the information. We're going to talk about that. But here's what I want you to understand. Whenever you have information for information's sake, and there's nothing you do with the information, that has a side effect, which 1 Corinthians 8:1 tells us of. Notice what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, as touching the things offered unto idols, we, notice what he says, we know We know that we all have knowledge. Notice what he says, knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge puffeth up. But charity edifies. See, I want you to understand something. Whenever you read the Bible for information, and you don't really plan on doing anything with it, but just for information's sake, it has this idea that it puffs you up. And I've noticed, you know, I've grown up independent fundamental Baptist my whole life. And independent fundamental Baptist, you know, we are one of our highlights is that we read the Bible, we study the Bible, we know we're right because of what the Bible says, and we try to follow all our doctrine and pattern our churches alongside with the Bible, and we can tell you, well, why this religion is wrong, and why that religion is wrong, and why we ought not do it this way, and why we ought to do it this way, and we can get that all in. But listen to me, there is a tendency for some people to read and grow in information simply for information's sake, and it puffs them up. See, I want you to understand something. The point of reading the Bible is not so that you can get on Facebook and just answer everybody's question and tell everybody why they're wrong. I'm going to read the Bible. Why? So I can get on Facebook and I can just tell this person, let me tell you why you're wrong on this. Let me tell you why you're wrong on that. If that's the goal of your Bible reading, you're wrong. See, the goal is information. But listen to me very carefully. It's not information for information's sake. Because if the goal is knowledge, here's what happens. Knowledge puffeth up. The Bible says that there are those who serve God, and there are those who do for God, that they may be seen of men. That ought never be our goal. Our goal, you say, Pastor Matt, why do you push Bible reading? Why are you telling us to read the Bible? Here's what I don't. We don't push Bible reading so you get on Facebook and say, this year I read the Bible 13 times. Or let me explain to you why you're wrong on this. And listen to me. We can have, you know, you can understand Daniel's 70th week, and you can understand the book of Revelation, and you can understand everything that has to do with prophecy, and everything has to do with dispensationalism, and everything has to do with everything that you need to know, and yet have no effect. Because the point of Bible reading is knowledge, but not for knowledge's sake. The point of Bible reading is information, but not just so we can show off that we have information. See, God wants us to grow in, notice how he does it. Look, everything in the Bible is in there for a reason. There's a reason why lists are put in order. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, the problem is we want to grow in knowledge, but we're not very graceful with our knowledge. We want to grow with knowledge, but we want to blast everyone who just didn't exactly say it right, who didn't exactly put it right, because we get some sort of a high. We get some sort of a spiritual high by putting someone down. Well, no, you're wrong about, look, they may be wrong. But if your goal, we're not talking about the other person, if your goal is Bible reading for knowledge, for information's sake, you're wrong. And see, in the Bible, the people that were supposedly the most religious, the most knowledgeable, the most, were the Pharisees, and they were wrong. They were hypocrites. So I want you to understand, God expects us to read. Why? Well, here's the point. The point of Bible reading is information. But not for information's sake. Not so we can boast and brag and say, well, I did this and I did that and I know this and I know that. And let me correct you here and let me correct you there. No. See, the point of Bible reading is knowledge. The point of Bible reading is information. But whenever it's information for information's sake, knowledge has this effect. It puffs us up. And especially in our movement and in our time and age in which we're ministering in, sometimes there's some people who don't even read the Bible for information. They just listen to a whole lot of YouTube. They just, you know, it's like, I haven't read the Bible cover to cover, but I've listened to about 3,000 sermons online, and I've got a whole lot of information that I can boast and brag about. But listen to me. Bible reading and Bible preaching, the goal is not information for information's sake. The point and the goal is information. You say, why? You're there in 1 Corinthians 8. Go back to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. I said, number one, the point of Bible reading is information. The point of Bible reading is information. But please understand this. The point of Bible reading is information so that we can make application. See, it's not just information we're after. We must be after information. You say, why? For information's sake? No, because knowledge puffeth up. Why? For information's sake? So I can tell everybody how they're wrong. So I can prove to everybody how I'm right. So I can, you know, just debate people out the door. Some of you haven't gotten anybody saved in a long time out souling, but you sure showed those Jehovah's Witnesses you ran into. And you've won a whole lot of arguments, but you haven't won anybody to Christ. Because it's not knowledge for knowledge's sake. So what's the point of Bible reading? Information. What do we do with that? See, the point of Bible reading is information. It's information. Please don't miss this. So that we can make application. So what are you talking about? See, it's all about application. Are you there in Matthew chapter 7? Remember Jesus, the great teacher? He gives us a parable, one of the most famous parables in the Bible, or a very famous parable in the Bible. I'm sure you've heard it before. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, notice what he says. Therefore, whosoever heareth, right? Blessed is he that readeth. And he says, blessed is he that heareth. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, you're hearing a sermon preached, you're hearing the Bible read, you're reading the Bible for yourself. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, notice what he says, and can we just read that word together? And doeth. And doeth them. Notice what he says. I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. And by the way, all throughout Scripture, Jesus is illustrated as a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that, notice, heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, let's read that word together, not. Let's read it again. And doeth them not. See, they both hurt. They both hurt. But one applied. Information, you say, what's the point? Application. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. See, Jesus is teaching that it does no good. And listen to me, I'm not trying. Some of you, I'm going to say this, and you're going to be like, well, what's the point of even coming to church? The point of coming to church is not so you can sit here and have Pastor Jimenez force you to flip through all these passages and teach you all this doctrine and teach you the Word of God. There's no point of you being here if you never do anything with it. See, the point is information. Why? For application. If you hear it, but you don't do anything with it. See, some of you have been coming to this church for years and years and years and years and years, and or, you know, at least 6 years, and or 3 years or whatever, and you come, and, you know, it's not, I mean, we preach the same things basically all the time. Why are you preaching on Bible reading? Because I preach on Bible reading every time around this year. So, well, doesn't that get boring? Well, you quit reading your Bible, so I got to preach on it again. Every year I preach on finances. Why? Because you need help with your finance. Some of you have heard finance sermon after finance sermon after finance sermon. You've listened to a whole finance series. You're still not budgeting. You're still not saving. Your finances are still a mess. Well, I went to the finances, but what did you do with it? We preach on marriage. Tonight we're preaching on marriage and child rearing. Some of you need to be here. Some of you will be here tonight, but you'll walk out of those doors and do nothing with it. And then you'll wonder, why can't I get my kids to? Why can't I get my marriage to? Why can't I get my finances to? Why can't I, you know, and here's the problem. It's you hear it, you hear it, you hear it. And that's the first step. That's the goal. The goal of Bible reading, the goal of Bible preaching is information, but not for information's sake. The goal of information is application. He that heareth, and then he that doeth. Because you're wise when you do, and you're foolish when you don't, even if you hear it. Go back to the book of James. If you kept your place in 2 Peter, I think I asked you to stay in 2 Peter. If you start at 2 Peter and go backwards, right before 1 and 2 Peter, you got the book of James, James chapter 1. In James, we're taught the same idea. James chapter 1. Look at verse number 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. Notice what the Bible says. See, write this down. The point of Bible reading is information. So that we can make application. The point of Bible reading is information, not so I can boast, not so I can brag, not so I can post it, not so I can correct, not so I can get puffed up. The point of Bible reading is information so that we can make application. James chapter 1, look at verse 22. Notice what the Bible says. James chapter 1, verse 22. Notice what the Bible says. Be ye what? Doers. Let's read that together. Be ye doers, notice, of the word, and not hearers only. And by the way, when you're only a hearer and not a doer, you're only deceiving yourself. deceiving your own selves. Look at verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man. Now, Jesus said he was a foolish man. Okay? Here, he doesn't tell us he's foolish, but what he does is very foolish. Notice what he said. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now, I want you to remember that term there, in a glass, okay? Because that word there, he's referring to a mirror. He's saying someone who is a hearer of the word but not a doer, he said it's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror, in something that he can see his own reflection. Notice what he says. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. See, the point of a mirror is self-assessment. Isn't that true? I know some of you don't look in mirrors. I can tell. But you ladies, you know, you look in a mirror, right? And the point of a mirror is self-assessment. You look in the mirror to see what? Do I look okay? You know, yesterday, Brother Matt Taylor was preaching at the soul winning meeting, and he talked about having a piece of, what did you say, Brother Matt? Something, spinach? Having spinach in your teeth, right? Now look, if you look in the mirror, how do I look? Maybe this way is better. That's how it looks good on Facebook, right? You know, you look at it this way. That's a joke. Some of you don't think it's funny. You look at it, and you're like, oh, I got a piece of spinach in my tooth. And you identify a problem, but you don't do anything about it. You just walk away, forget about it. Are you a wise man or a fool? Well, notice what he says. Look at verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto man beholding his natural face in a glass. For be beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now, that's referring to the word of God. Here's what he's saying. The word of God is like a mirror. And every day you pick that mirror up and you look inside of it and you gather information so you can do what? Application. See, the goal is self-assessment. It's not so, oh, I knew they were wrong. Let me get on Facebook. Let me get on Twitter. Let me make a YouTube video. No. The goal is self-assessment. It's a mirror. You look at it and you say, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong in my life. There's something I need to fix. But here's what he says. If you get the information, but never make application, it's worthless. Look at verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. See, the point of Bible reading is information, but not for information's sake, because knowledge puffeth up. The point of Bible reading is information, but not for information's sake. You say, well, what's the point of information? The point of information is so that you and I can make application, so that we can look into the perfect law of liberty, so we can look into the mirror of the Word of God, and we can self-assess and say, I need to work on that, and I need to work on this, and I need to fix this, and this is something well that I'm doing, and we can work on ourselves and not be a forgetful hearer. Point number three, the point of Bible reading is information for application. That results, don't miss this, that results in transformation. See, the goal is transformation. But you cannot get to transformation before you get to application, and you cannot get to application before you get to information. And the sad part is that most Christians end right there. We come to church for years and years and years and years and years, and you hear great sermons, and you hear great preaching, and you get a lot of knowledge, and you get a lot of information, but you never do anything with it. So what's the goal? Information. So that you can make application that results in transformation. Can you get back to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to remember how in James he said, beholding his natural face in a glass. Remember the illustration in James was that the Word of God is like a mirror that we look into? I want you to notice what 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're almost done. I won't preach very long this morning, if you believe that. You must not come here much. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. No, we'll be done soon. 2 Corinthians 3. Look at verse 13. Notice what it says. 2 Corinthians 3, 13. And not as Moses. Okay, so now he gives us an illustration. Here's Moses. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. Remember Moses went up to the mount with God, and he came back. He spent 40 days, 40 nights with God. He came back. His face was shining, and people couldn't even look at his face. So he puts a veil over his face so that they're not able to see what's behind the veil. He's going to use this as an illustration. Notice what he says, 2 Corinthians 3:13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. Look at verse 14. But their minds were blinded. Now, he's talking about unbelievers here. He's talking about the unbelieving Jews specifically. But he's saying these people aren't saved. He said, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, he's using this as an illustration. He says, until this day, the same veil untaken away in the what? Reading. The context is reading. In the reading of the Old Testament. Here's what he says. The Old Testament Jews that rejected Christ, that rejected Jesus, that rejected salvation, that went for the Jewish works-based religion, he says, the same veil are taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Here's what he's saying. He's saying unbelieving Christians cannot understand the Bible. Unsaved people have a veil that does not allow them. Because remember, what's the first step? Information. So that we can make application that results in transformation. But he says unsaved people can't even get to that first step. There's a veil over their head. There's a veil over their face that is untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. He says they can't even understand. And in 1 Corinthians, he already talked about this. Let's look at it just real quickly. You're there in 2 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. We're going to come right back to 2 Corinthians 3. But just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 real quickly. Look at verse 14. Notice what he says. But the natural man, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. But the natural man. That's the unregenerated man, the unsaved man, just a normal person that has not been saved, that does not have the Holy Spirit of God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them, neither can he what? Know. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The word discern means to see, to recognize something. He says, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned. They're not able to see or perceive. They're not able to understand. By the way, this is why so many of these false religions, I mean, they are so messed up. Sometimes I think to myself, is it a joke? Is it a joke? Jesus says, call no man father on earth, and you've got a religion that says, hey, let's call our leaders father. And I'm like, really? You know, and then Jesus says, hey, you know, his disciples come and they say, teach us to pray. And he says, I'm going to teach you to pray. I'm going to teach you a pattern to pray. But right before he gives that pattern, he says, now listen to me, guys. Listen, I don't want you to repeat this prayer. He said, that's what the heathen do. He said, I don't want you to do vain and repetitious prayer. He said, I'm going to give you a prayer that you can pattern your prayers after, but don't just repeat this prayer because that's what heathen people do. And then Jesus gives the famous Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. And then you got a religion who says, hey, let's take that prayer and just repeat it all over again, over and over again. And I'm like, really? Really? I mean, he said not to do that. But here's the thing. People that aren't saved can't even understand the Bible. That's why you got these Jehovah's Witnesses. They're like, you know, only 144,000 go up and everybody stays down. When you read the book of Revelation, only 144,000 stay down and everybody goes up. And I'm just like, really? I mean, it's the exact opposite. And sometimes I think to myself, are you guys joking? I mean, is this a joke, like a practical joke? But here's the thing. Unsaved people can't understand the Bible. They don't get it. There's a veil over their face. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And sometimes I wonder, you know, people ask me questions. I'm like, really? You still don't get that? You still don't understand that? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Here's what he's talking about. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. But notice, which veil is done away in Christ. See, when you're in Christ, when you get saved, that veil is done away. That veil is taken away. That veil is no longer there. Look at verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse number 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, you see that? That's what we're talking about, right? Bible reading? And he says, when Moses read, that's referring to the books of the Bible that Moses wrote. When Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord. Here's what he says. When somebody gets saved, when they turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. See, you can read and understand the Bible on your own. You don't need a man to teach you. Now, God ordained pastors and prophets, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. But look, you should be able to pick up the Bible and read. And by the way, let me say this. If you ever have a pastor who tells you, don't read the Bible, or don't listen to preaching, or don't listen to people, only listen to me, run screaming and yelling in the opposite direction, okay? You know what that's called? It's called a cult. When a pastor says to you, only listen to what I have to say and don't ever listen to anybody else about anything and don't read for yourself, just listen to what I have to say. That is a cult, my friend. At Verity Baptist Church, you know what we tell you? Study! Search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Come to church, we'll read the Bible in its context, we'll preach the word of God, and then you go home and you search the scriptures and you read the Bible and you make sure that that's actually what it said. Because I don't have an agenda here. I have no dog in this fight where I gotta make you. I'm not trying to make you do anything. I'm just trying to preach the Bible to you. Amen. Give you information that you can take into application so that it results in transformation. And here's what he says. Notice what he says. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Here's what I want you to notice. Verse 18. But we. Okay, now this is Paul, who's saved, talking to the church at Corinth, who's saved believers. But we all, notice what he says, with open face, beholding as in a what? Glass. He says, but we that are saved, we don't have that veil. So we can, our face can see the glass. He says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Notice, he says, when you grab the mirror of the Word of God and you behold the glory of the Lord, notice the result. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Did you just catch what he said? He said, when you look in the mirror and you look at Jesus, because Jesus is the Word, and you say, that doesn't match this, so I'm going to fix this so it looks more like that, the result is transformation. The result is that we are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You say, Pastor, what is the point of Bible reading? Why do you always push Bible reading? Why do you tell us to read the Bible? Why do you challenge us to read the Bible? Not for information. You say, well, I thought the goal was information. The goal is information that you can use in application that results in transformation. But if the only goal you have for Bible reading is information for information's sake, because you've got about 3 or 4 different, you know, conversations going on Facebook that you've got to, you know. Sometimes people call me, and I can tell. It's like, Pastor, I need to know, what does the Bible say about X, Y, and Z? Why are you asking? Well, there's this guy on Facebook. I'm busy. Have you not read? When the only reason we're interested in the Word of God is because I've got to prove someone wrong, or I've got to show off, or I've got to tell somebody, look how many times I've read the Bible. Has Pastor Menor ever stood up here and said, hey, listen to me, I've read the Bible cover to cover X amount of times. Now, I could do that. That'll probably make most of you feel pretty bad. And some of you might make me feel bad. Look, the Bible says they that compare themselves among themselves, they measuring themselves by themselves, are not wise. The goal is not that you and I stand toe-to-toe and say, well, who's more spiritual? You're carnal. You're carnal. Well, I've got this many verses memorized, and I've read it this many times, and I've listened to this many YouTubes, and I got these many people say, you're carnal, my friend, you're carnal. You're not spiritual, you're carnal. The goal is not information for information's sake. The goal is information for application. That results in transformation. And if you're reading the Bible and reading the Bible and reading the Bible, listening to sermon after sermon after sermon, and yet you're still struggling with the same sins, you're still struggling with the same addictions, you're still struggling with the same temper, you're still struggling with the same issues, your marriage is still messed up, your children are still, there's nothing changing, then you failed. Then you failed. Because the goal of Bible reading is not information for information's sake. So then what's the goal? Here's the point. Information that we can use in application that results in transformation. I look into the perfect law of liberty and I say, wow, there's something that's not right that I need to change. And the more I work on this guy, the more he looks like this guy. You understand what I'm saying? but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, the problem is, you say, why do we need to read? Because we need God to, you know, people go, you go to that church, Freddy Baptist Church, they're going to brainwash you. Some of you need your brain washed. People get, you're just trying to brainwash those people. Yeah, you're right. That's actually exactly what we're trying to do. Their minds are filthy. Romans chapter 12. Let's look at it quickly. We're almost done. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1. You're there in 2 Corinthians. Just go backwards a couple books. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye, here's our word, be ye transformed. How do you get transformed? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, when you think different, you begin to do different. See, some of you, I just shake my head sometimes because you think, well, I'm just going to keep doing the same thing that I was doing before, but now I go to church once every 3 weeks, and that ought to make all the difference. And you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and getting the same results over and over and over and over again, and you say, I'm going to keep going to church. It didn't work. No, it's not that church didn't work, or it's not that God's word didn't work. It's that you didn't work. Because we're not learning information for information's sake. We're learning information so that we can be a doer of the word, so that we can be a doer of the work, so that there can be transformation. The point of Bible reading is transformation. You think different, you do different. You're there in Romans, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Real quickly, Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at Ephesians and Isaiah, we'll be done. Ephesians 5, look at verse 25. Ephesians 5, you're there in Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He's using the relationship of a husband and wife, but he's talking about the relationship between Christ and the church. He says, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Notice verse 26, that he, talking about Jesus, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. He's working on you. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to clean you. How? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the what? Word. See, you go and take a shower in the morning, and then you look in the mirror. And God says, I want you to do that with the word of God every day. You let it wash you. And then you look in the mirror and you say, it looks a little better than it did yesterday. It's getting a little better than it was last year. There's a transformation happening in my life. Can you go to the book of Isaiah? Remember when we started the sermon, I told you to keep your place in Hosea. If you kept your place in Hosea, just going backwards, you're going to go past Daniel, Ezekiel, Lamentations, Jeremiah, Isaiah. All right? Find that big book of Isaiah. We're going to end right here. I just want to be real clear. We push Bible reading a lot around here, and I'm about to push it right now really hard. All right? So get ready. But I want you to understand, the point of Bible reading, the point of Bible reading is information, but not for information's sake. Because knowledge puffeth up. The point of Bible reading is information so that then you can do the work of application and begin to do the things you learn. And when you apply what you know, the result is a transformed life. And see, here's what happened. Somebody's going to run into you 3 years from now. They haven't seen you in 3 years. They haven't seen you in 5 years. They haven't seen you in 10 years. And they're going to say, what happened to you? Last time I saw you, your life was a mess. And now look at you, you're happy, there's joy in your heart, your family's put back together. What, man, you know, you were struggling with this, what happened? And you can say, the word of God washed me. The word of God cleansed me. But see, it doesn't work if you never read it. So why do we read? For information. So we can make application. So there can be transformation. So here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. Isaiah 34, look at verse 16. We're done. Isaiah 34, verse 16. Here's a challenge. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord. Isaiah 34, verse 16. Isaiah 34, 16. I want you to see it. Isaiah 34, 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. What's the point of this sermon? To get you to read. Pastor Matt, why are you preaching this morning? Because I want you to read the Bible. Why do you want us to read the Bible? So we can be real knowledgeable? Only if you're going to make application. Because I know, here's what I know, if I can get you to read the Bible and the Holy Spirit can help you make application, there'll be transformation. There'll be changed lives. There'll be renewed marriages. There'll be children that grow up in a home and they'll be able to look back and say, I was raised in a goodly heritage because I had a mom and I had a dad that decided to take the Bible seriously. That weren't just hearers of the word, but they were doers. Here's the challenge. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. I have something I want to hand out this morning. I got the ushers already, and if they can just get this ready. Don't pass it out yet, guys. Let me just hand it out. Say, Pastor, why are you preaching a sermon? Every January at Verity Baptist Church, we call it our Bible month. It's Bible Reading Emphasis Month, and we challenge our church family. And I'm doing this weeks in advance because I want you to be ready and not be, you know, taken off guard. Weeks in advance, we challenge you. In the month of January, we challenge our church people to read 9 chapters a day in the month of January. 9 chapters a day in the month of January. And if you read 9 chapters a day from the New Testament, starting January 1st, every day in the month of January, and some of you are like, whoa, I got 9 chapters a day. It's not as hard as you think. And some of you thought it was hard last year, and then you did it, and you're like, oh, man, I'm so glad I did. But if you read 9 chapters a day in the month of January, you'll read the entire New Testament in the month of January. And there are 2 grace period days, so if you miss a day, it's okay. We want to give you this chart where you can chart yourself, and you can finish up at the end. And I'll tell you, January is one of the most fun months at Verity Baptist Church. Amen. I mean, the Spirit is just alive. People are working together. People are loving each other. People are forgiving. It's great. And I think it's because when they read the Bible, the result is transformation. When you read the Bible for information and you make application, there's transformation. So we want to challenge you. Want to help you with this. We're going to give this to every adult, every child that can read. Want to challenge you to read the New Testament. You're going to get a chart here, 9 chapters a day in the month of January. We're also going to give you another chart, which is just a Bible reading plan for the rest of the year. So once January is done, I don't have to preach the sermon again. I'm just kidding. I'll preach the sermon again. A different sermon, same topic. You can track your Bible reading. See, the goal. I'm trying to get you to read the Bible. Why? Because I think it'll help your parenting, and I know it'll help your marriage, and I think it'll help your children, and I think it'll help your finances. And I know that it'll transform your life if you get information and then you do something with it. So we want to challenge you. We'll have the guys come up. Let's hand these out right now, guys. I want every adult to get one, and every child, if you can read, go ahead and grab one. If you're a teenager, we want to challenge you to read the Bible. 9 chapters a day in the month of January. You read this in the month of January, and you hand this in when you're done. And we have a plaque. We put your name on every year, and we just want to see how God wrought together amongst us and how we work together and put the emphasis on the Word of God. But please understand something. Please understand this. The goal is not to read 9 chapters a day so you can beat somebody over the head with it. So you ladies are going to read 9 chapters a day, and then when your husband fails to, don't say, see, I told you you weren't spiritual. Hitting him with the chart, okay? That's not the goal. Your children try, and maybe they fail, and you're such an embarrassment. That's not the goal. It's not information for information's sake. It's information so we can make application that results in transformation. That's the point of reading the Bible. And that's why Jesus wanted us to read. That's why God wanted us to read. And we want to challenge you to read 9 chapters a day in the month of January. I hope you will. If you didn't get a chart yet, you can grab one on your way out. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and let's read the Bible together. Let's start the new year in the Word of God. Family,